Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. I think I'll give you a few comments when we're done this morning rather than now. Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We do thank you for the power of prayer, and we thank you for hearing us. And Lord, it's so simple, Lord. We can either be distracted by the evil one and the things of the world and by our flesh, or we can keep our eyes focused on you and on the victory that has already been won by you. And as we look this morning at Psalm 2 as such a perfect example, after Psalm 1, really, of the world that we're in. And as we read these words from the psalmist written 1,000 years before Christ, it's exactly the same now as it was in the Garden of Eden after the fall, exactly the same as it was 3,000 years ago, probably 6,000 years ago. And yet, Lord, you have sent your Son. You have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us your Word, the whole counsel of God. You've given us every possible thing we could need. So, Lord, help us. Help us to yield to you this morning. Help us to worship you. Help us to thank you. Help us to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I briefly mentioned there, we are going to be in Psalm 2 today. Two weeks ago today, we were in Psalm 1, which tells us the way to live, and the godly will be blessed, and the ungodly shall perish. Today, Psalm 2 kind of completes the introduction to all the Psalms, really. Psalm 1 and 2, and Psalm 2 now is the same message as Psalm 1, except we're talking more about the environment that we're in, the people that are here. And again, it's separated into two groups, the unbelievers and the believers, as you would know. And the unbelievers will perish. They'll make a lot of noise, waving their fists before God and say, look at me, I don't recognize you and I'm against you and everything about you. I hate the Bible. I hate the Word of God. I hate life. I hate. But look at me, I'm really strong, all going to perish. But the righteous will be blessed. The righteous will be blessed. So we just see such clear examples in the Scripture. Do you want to get all entangled with distractions of the world? With distractions of the flesh? With distractions of relationships? With distractions of problems? Or do you want to keep your eyes on Jesus and recognize that we have such an opportunity to be salt and light? Because the whole world is in the camp of a mess that aren't the Lord's. And yet we need to be different. We need to come out from among them. We shouldn't be spending our time focusing on all the blackness and all the evil and all the, oh no, can you believe what they did? Oh my! Well, we'll see in today's psalm written 3,000 years ago, they were doing it then, and they've done it continually before and ever since. And nothing's new under the sun, right? Well, I wanted to begin just by singing, since we're going to be talking about the Messiah's triumph and kingdom in Psalm 2, I thought we would just sing something about our King. And so, now unto the King eternal, immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. So let's sing along this praise song. The words are on the top of your first page.
Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Now unto the King eternal,
Why don't we all stand for the rest of this? You may be seated. Father, we do thank you that you are the King Eternal. Yes, that you have bought us by your blood, Lord Jesus, and that we are yours forever. Oh, Lord, help us to recognize what you have given to each believer, Lord. May we praise you and honor you, Lord. Guide us now as we review the familiar words of Psalm 2, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 1 finished, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And that is exactly the same way the Psalm 2 is going to end, pretty much same idea, different words. So we had last time in Psalm 1 the way to live, the way for the righteous to live. And if they didn't lead that way and they lived unrighteously, then they would perish. Righteously, they would be fruitful, they would be a blessing. We can identify with those two paths so clearly in Psalm 1. In Psalm 2 now, we take the look at the environment that the world is set in this particular age. And my Bible entitles this Psalm, "The Messiah's Triumph and Kingdom." And it begins with a question asked to these people, these nations. Why do the nations rage? Nations there is goyim. It could be people. It could be nations, as it's translated in the New King James. But why do these basically unbelievers rage? And that means what it, we know it means, rages. Coming against, thinking evil continually, plotting and strategizing. Why do the people rage and the people, nations rage and the people plot? Now that word is amazing to me. That's meditate. That's the same word that we had last week on meditating on the word. But they're meditating not on the word, they're meditating on how to come against God. Meditating on evil. And the people meditate or plot a vain or useless. It's useless to plot against the king. It's useless. Why do the people plot a vain thing? And of course, here's the identification then to whom we're talking to, basically the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Just think about how that works. You know, World War II, the Axis of Italy and Japan and Germany, such hideous rulers and taking counsel together, joined forces. Now we've got, got groups like the ACLU and others, which are totally committed against life, totally committed against the Lord, and taking counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. His anointed is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So they're taking counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Rebelling, resisting. That's their life. That's the life of the unbeliever. That's the life of those controlled by the prince of the power of the air, controlled by Satan at the present time. But they take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Here's what they say. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Take the Ten Commandments down. Get rid of the nativity scenes. If you picket, pray for, pray against an abortion in front of a Planned Parenthood or whatever it is, clinic, you can be arrested. We don't want life. We don't want control. Marry whoever you want. I want to marry whoever I want. I want lust unbridled. I don't want to produce any kids. We'll just kill all them. But, you know, I have my rights, right? I have my rights. And this is what we're seeing here. We see it in our country. We see it in every country. And believe me, this is the best country there is. You think we got problems? Go somewhere else. You think we have injustice here? Go anywhere else. Pretty much anywhere else. But there's no justice now. There will be after the wicked is purged away. In the meantime, we are here to bring the good news to the lost. How they desperately need it. And we need to pray for the lost. Because as bad as they are, we can't even envision what their eternity will be like away from the Lord. So let us break their bonds in pieces. We don't want the Bible. We don't want you Christians telling us how to live. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. So now God speaks. We got four sections in this psalm. It is the nations commenting on what they're doing in the first three verses. And then as God answers, or God speaks now in verses 4, 5, and 6. And then Jesus Christ will speak in 7, 8, and 9. And then we will have the blessed advice and instructions to the rebellious in the last three verses. So we now have God commenting about God. Verse 4, He who sits in the heavens. What's his response to all of this stuff? He laughs. He shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. You can just almost hear him talking about, you know, you think you're pretty hot stuff, right? Well, I was there when Nimrod rebelled. I was there when Nebuchadnezzar rebelled. I was there when all of the Caesars rebelled and when all the Pharaohs rebelled. I was there when Alexander the Great rebelled. I was there every time, all the time. And you think you're something hot? You're really hot stuff now? Because you can maybe scream louder and maybe you got electronic amplification and stuff? No. He laughs. He just laughs. You're a joke. You're a joke if you're coming against the Lord, because it's so far away from what's right. It's just like a joke. And he shall speak to them in his wrath because he is unhappy with evil. You know, we as his followers are to love the sinner, but we're to hate the sin. And we have to be really clear about that. We so often come under the false idea, oh, don't judge, don't judge. We're to judge what's good and what's evil. We're not to judge a person's motive. We're not to judge them, sentencing them to whatever their outcome is. That's the judging word there. What does the court judge in the court decide, innocent or guilty? We're not to do that, but we're to hate evil. How can you hate evil if you don't even know what it is? Well, it's got a little good in it. You know, I can take a little drugs. I can drink a little alcohol. And, you know, I won't influence anybody else because they're on their own. And, you know, I'm just a pastor, but, you know, I have my rights. You know, I can do all that stuff. No, come on, get real. So we see here, he shall speak to them in his wrath and his distress and his deep displeasure. And then verse 6, I love it. Yet, in spite of all of your rebellion and everything else, I have set my king. That's past tense. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Upon my holy hill of Zion. In the Hebrew, it's upon Zion, the hill of my holiness. On my holy hill of Zion, that's where the Messiah has been set. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, now Christ is speaking in verse 7. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And that begotten you, I believe, is not the nativity scene. I believe it's the resurrection. In other words, Solomon was destined to be king as a son of David, but he really wasn't king presented to the nation until his coronation, right? So although Jesus has been around since he was sacrificed before the foundation of the earth, we're told in the Bible, but he wasn't presented to the nation until the world until he actually died on the cross as a man, right? And so we see here then, today I have begotten you, ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance. And that's exactly what Paul was quoting in Antioch and his sermon in Acts 13. He's quoting these words right here, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Now, I love those missions conferences that have this as a theme verse. They are always very careful to end it there. But it doesn't end there. And the ends of the earth for possession. That's part of it. Oh, yeah, you got the whole world promised to you, blah, blah, blah. But what does it say? And we're, you know, this is like peace on earth, right? Because we're going to just give all the nations the gospel. That's good. Except that you shall break them with a rod of iron. Well, that doesn't sound like a very peaceful king, does it? You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So if you take clay pot or clay pots, and you smash it, it goes into smithereens, doesn't it? That's what this we're talking about here. The Lord is going to dash the opposition like a clay pot into smithereens. So what's the instruction now? Verse 10, now therefore. Now, considering what I've told you and what you've read here, now what? Therefore, be wise. O kings, God is always merciful, always on the side of grace. Kings, turn to me. Unbelievers, turn to me. And that's where we come into this. He will use us as believers, as witnesses of his love in our lives, right? And so we see all of this rebelliousness. You know, we see the groups, whether they're homosexual or whatever they are, protesting and all of this, and I've got my rights, and we got a lot of political correctness on the side, on the wrong side. I mean, the criminals are given, in a lot of cases, more rights than the people that have the crime against us. If you go back to God's heart in the Old Testament, particularly under the law, I mean, that's why you would have a totally child, not a kid anymore, but maybe in his 20s, out of control, he's a drunk and he won't obey anybody, after he would be carefully screened by the rabbis and so forth in that area, he would be stoned to death. You think, oh, how terrible. How could God do that? Well, you don't have to do that very often. And you don't have anybody rebelling against their parents, right? Or somebody gets leprosy. What do? You put them away. Oh, how cruel. How cruel. What do we do with AIDS? Oh, we can't even tell anybody, right? But he would, to protect love for the masses here, he would get the rotten, you got to get the rotten apples out of the barrel, right? But, oh no, we want to keep the rotten. Look at our street situation. I mean, it with the liberal things of, oh, you know, we just have to train them more not to go potty on the bathroom, you know, on the sidewalk. We can cure that by a training program. Well, I don't think so. Anyway, not to go there, to go here. Therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. That's for everybody. But it's especially how we want to pray for our leaders and kings and those in authority, that they would have the fear of God in their eyes, right? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. We're to worship him. We're to praise him. We're to honor him. Kiss him, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. If you do not turn to the Lord, you're going to perish again. There's that same word that we had in Psalm 1. The wicked will perish in the way. When God's wrath is kindled but a little. Our God is a fearful, consuming fire God. You don't want to come down on the wrong side of God after he's given you chance after chance after chance and you still blaspheme him, or blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You will experience his wrath. But then notice the high point at the very end. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Always ends good, doesn't it? God is a gracious God. He's a good God. And the picture there of blessings, as we think that through, are so enormous. I don't know how many Christians, if you line them up in here, and if you just ask them, you know, how rich are you? How much have you been given? And how much are you really hoping for? I think you'd probably find most would say, well, I really want this. I really want that. I really want this. I really want that. Rather than say, you know, he's given me so much already. So much. How blessed am I? And how can I have a face that doesn't reflect that to that dark and dying world who hasn't received that? Are we really different from the world? Because we're called out to be. And then blessed are those who put their trust in Him. Father, we thank You for this beautiful psalm. And I say beautiful because these are all so beautiful. Your word is beautiful and it tells us so clearly that You are such a gracious God, such a loving God, such a forgiving God. And yet You're a just God and You're a righteous God. And this is not a just world at the present time. Justice is not being served by the kings of the earth anywhere pretty much in the world. But it will be when You are reigning. So this morning, here we are, opportunity to pray. So Lord, lead us in this time of prayer now, in Jesus' name. Father, we do all agree how great Thou art. Thank You for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and help us to live a fruitful life today, Lord, as we would be solely desiring to honor You and to praise You. Help us to pray for the lost. Help us to pray for the kings and those in authority, Lord, who are so far from You. Help them to turn to You, Lord, to have the fear of You in their eyes and to know that they will bow the knee to You one day. Every single one will bow the knee to You, Lord Jesus. Either to eternity with You or to eternity apart from You. So may we pray for those who are headed in the wrong direction to a destination of perishing. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.